Chapter 17. During the drive to Poplar, Cini thought of magician Avioski. Yesterday's meeting had gone just about as well as could be expected, but magician Avioski didn't know what to do with the discovery. Neither did Cini.
"I'll think on it,"
magician Avioski's departing words. She hadn't even said goodbye as Cini and Emery walked back to their buggy. Today's buggy pulled up alongside the curve outside the new Twill house. Cini shook thoughts of magic and bonding from her mind and focused on the task at hand. She had one more item of personal business to take care of before returning to Magician Bailey's abode and her studies. Tracking Xena down proved to be a more complicated task than Cini had imagined. Being unmarried and having chosen not to further her education outside of secondary school, Xena still lived at home, but she had gone out. No one knew where.
"I don't know what to do with her, Cini," her mother groaned as she poured Cini a cup of weak tea. "She rarely alerts me when she goes out, and only God knows what she does. Your father is losing hair over it. I'm ready to kick her out."
Rhonda Twill would never force one of her daughters out of the home, of course, but Cini understood her mother's sentiment. Birds would do no good in locating Xena in such a high populace of people. Instead, Cini stopped next door to inquire of Mrs. Hemmings, whose daughter was a new friend of Xena's. Mrs. Hemmings suggested a few places to look, including the Caraway's residence back in the mill squats. The sun had risen to noon by the time Cini arrived in her old neighborhood. Fortunately, Magrinda Caraway, Xena's on-and-off friend, and 2 years Cini's junior, happened to be home.
"She's probably out with Carl and Sam,"
Magrinda said, leaning against the door frame of the squat house as she twisted a lock of umber hair around her finger. It didn't look as though she'd bothered to get ready for the day, save for changing from a sleeping gown to a faded yellow sundress. "A tall fellow with sandy-colored hair and a cleft in his chin?" Cini asked. Magrinda nodded.
"That's Carl, Sam's his little brother.
He's a real bugger, if you don't mind me saying."
Cini did mind, but saw no use in mentioning it.
"They usually hang out by the theater in Parliament Square, or the Maple Bar."
Cini furrowed her brow. "The saloon?" Magrinda smiled.
"Yeah."
She eyed Cini, head to foot, to head.
"Even you'd get some attention there."
Inhaling deeply to prevent a huff, Cini thanked Magrinda for her help and had her buggy drive her to Parliament Square. She first checked the small road where she'd run into Xena before, but there was no sign of her sister. She walked around the theater, even going so far as to ask a man at the ticket counter if he'd seen anyone meeting Xena's description, but he hadn't. Cini walked by the rows of shops near the Parliament building, peeking into their windows, before finally giving up and making her way to the saloon. Despite having come to terms with her hair color years ago, she found herself wishing it were a less noticeable shade. She didn't need rumors of intemperance to be added to the chatter about her relationship with Emery. Maybe she should just hug a conceal spell about her person and walk invisible through the streets. If only she had brought a piece of paper large enough. God had mercy on her, for when she stepped into the saloon, too dimly lit to encourage good behavior, she spied Xena only moments after being assaulted with the smell of cigar smoke. Someone whistled. Cini didn't look to see if it had been directed at her. She trudged up to the high table where Xena stood with a cigarette perched in her fingers. Carl sat next to her, turning an empty glass over in his hands. There was no sign of Sam.
"Hello, sister."
Xena looked up at her, and for a moment her face flashed pale. But she hid her reaction so swiftly, Cini wondered if she'd imagined it. Her sister's eyes darkened and her brows tightened.
"What the hell are you doing here?"
Cini sighed.
"Spoken like a true lady. I need to speak to you, and I'd like to do it outside of this establishment, preferably before I start to smell like the fag in your hand."
Carl stood.
"I know you. Older sister."
He didn't ask it in a friendly tone. Keeping calm, as Delilah had always complimented her for doing, Cianni pulled a sheet of paper and her smelted scissors from her purse and set the supplies on the table, focusing on them and not Carl.
I believe my use of the term sister would say as much. Elder sister, which is why I don't want Xena in a place like this with a man like you. If you'll excuse us.
Carl snorted.
Shove off.
Cianni had expected he'd say something of the like. Without so much as glancing at him, she cut her squares and, pulling out a pencil, quickly doodled on their corners before returning the pencil and scissors to her bag. She whispered, "Adhere," to one of her squares.
"Send me a letter if you want to talk," Xena said, puffing around the fag.
She didn't seem to be enjoying it much, stupid girl.
"Your fancy male birds. Or have your blighter make one for you."
Carl grabbed Cianni's upper arm.
"Time to go, sweets."
Cianni turned to face him, their chests only inches apart, and tucked one of her squares into the front pocket of his trousers.
"I am not your sweets, Carl," she said,
shaking off his hand and simultaneously throwing the other square with a flick of her wrist. The adhere spell she'd placed on it made it suction tightly to the floor.
"And if you touch me again, I'll have you tossed out. Or better yet, I'll do it myself. A fix."
The bearing square in Carl's pocket leapt to connect with its partner on the floor, regardless what or who stood in the way. The force of the magic knocked Carl onto the ground and slid him several feet to meet the other paper square.
Xena gaped. "Cianni!"
"Come with me, or I'll do the same to you," she snapped, snatching the fag from Xena's lips. With an uttered shred, the cigarette's paper tore itself to pieces, leaving a barely smoldering mess on the tabletop. Having grabbed Xena by the elbow, Cianni dragged her out of the saloon and into the blessedly fresh-smelling sunlight. Fortunately, her sister didn't resist until they were several paces from the dreaded place's front doors.
"You've got some nerve," Xena shot.
Cianni brushed her hands over her blouse as though the action could scare away the smell of cigars.
"Apparently not as much as you. My affair with an established magician hardly seems notable compared to whatever rubbish you're up to."
Xena deflated, leaned against the outside wall of Maple By.
"Don't act like you understand me."
"Why would I pretend to when I don't?" she countered.
"What has gotten into you? Mother is worried about you, and so am I. Talk to me."
Xena frowned.
"I don't see Carl coming to your rescue."
Rolling her eyes, Xena folded her arms, then unfolded them to flick her black hair behind her shoulders. It fell forward again. She ignored it. Cianni frowned.
"We used to be close, you know?"
Her sister continued to fuss with her hair, eyes averted.
"Before you took off and became the apple of Mom and Dad's eye, maybe?"
Cianni raised an eyebrow.
"I'm sick of being second rate, Cianni,"
Xena said, loud enough to earn a few glances from passers-by. Apparently, without Carl and Sam as her shield, the looks bothered her. Lowering her voice, she continued.
"Compared, overlooked. If one daughter can become a magician, then certainly another can do something equally great."
"You can, if you want to," she offered, quiet. "I'm not a magician yet."
"Easy for you to say. We don't all have rich men paying for our schooling."
"You hate school."
"I wish I didn't."
That took Cianni aback. She felt herself soften, inside and out.
"Oh, Xena."
Xena folded her arms tightly over her chest.
"I hate being poor."
"Is that the appeal to this Carl? Money?"
She guffawed.
"He's a street sweeper, so no."
"But he pays attention to you,"
Cianni thought, though she knew better than to voice the words. Instead, she said,
"Come,"
and gently took Xena's elbow. Xena, eyes fixed on the walk, came without protest.
What do you want to do?
Cianne asked after a minute of silence.
I don't know. Well, we can't do anything until we figure that out. What about your art?
She snorted. Can't afford the equipment.
Cianne paused, looked at her. Oh, Zina, I can help you out with that. You just have to ask.
I don't need any debts to you. Cianne resisted rolling her own eyes and continued walking.
We all need help once in a while, and if I pass my magician's test, I will have the means to help you financially. The rest is up to you.
I don't want handouts.
Then sell something and pay me back. Accept a little help from your family, Zina. I doubt you want to spend the rest of your life inside a saloon next to someone who manhandles women.
Zina sighed. Carl is an idiot.
See,
we're already becoming more agreeable with each other. Despite the tension, Zina laughed, though it was a somewhat bitter sound. They walked in silence for a moment longer before Zina said,
I just need to find some old rich man to marry.
And that's not a handout. Her sister smirked.
To suffer through a marriage like that? I'd be earning my allowance.
That made Cianne pause again.
I know someone who might appreciate you. Your art, at least.
Another eye roll. Got another folder up your sleeve?
Cianne thought of Langston.
Well, yes, actually. But I won't introduce him to someone who smells like a saloon and who doesn't respect herself.
Zina pulled away from her, brows drawn together again. I respect myself just fine.
Then act like it, Zina.
Her sister opened her mouth to retort, but Cianne pulled her into a hug before she could speak.
I believe in you, she said into Zina's tobacco-scented hair. Believe in yourself.
I'll see you at my announcement.
Pulling back, Zina studied Cianne's eyes.
So sure you'll pass, eh?
Cianne smiled.
When one believes in oneself, even the extraordinary is possible.